Reg regarded him solemnly from over a piece of carrot, poised delicately on his fork in front of him, but did not interrupt. You see, any aspect of a piece of music can be expressed as a sequence or pattern of numbers, enthused Richard. Numbers can express the pitch of notes, the length of notes, patterns of pitches and lengths. You mean tunes, said Reg. The carrot had not yet moved. Richard grinned. Tunes would be a very good word for it. I must remember that. It would help you speak more easily. Reg returned the carrot to his plate, untasted. And this software did well, then? He asked. Not so much here. The yearly accounts of most British companies emerged sounding like the Dead March from Saul. But in Japan, they went for it like a pack of rats. It produced lots of cheery company anthems that started well, but if you were going to criticise them, you'd probably say they tended to get a bit loud and squeaky at the end. Did spectacular business in the States, which was the main thing, commercially. Though the thing that's interesting me most now is what happens if you leave the accounts out of it. Turn the numbers that represent the way a swallow's wings beat directly into music. What would you hear? Not the sound of cash registers, according to Gordon. Fascinating, said Reg, quite fascinating, and popped the carrot at last into his mouth. He turned and leaned forward to speak to his new girlfriend. Watkin loses, he pronounced. The carrots have achieved a new all-time low. Sorry, Watkin, but awful as you are, the carrots, I'm afraid, are world beaters. The girl giggled more easily than last time, and she smiled at him. Watkin was trying to take all this good-naturedly, but it was clear, as his eyes swam at Reg, that he was more used to discomforting than being discomforted. "Please, Daddy, can I now?" With her newfound, if slight, confidence, the girl had also found a voice. "Later," insisted her father. "This is already later. I've been timing it." "Well," he hesitated and was lost. "We've been to Greece," announced the girl in a small but awed voice. "Ah, have you indeed?" said Watkin with a little nod. "Well, well, anywhere in particular, or just Greece generally?" "Patmos," she said decisively. "It was beautiful. I think Patmos is the most beautiful place in the whole world, except the ferry never came when it said it would. Never, ever. I timed it. We missed our flight, but I didn't mind." "Ah, Patmos, I see," said Watkin, who was clearly roused by the news. "Well, what you have to understand, young lady, is that the Greeks, not content with dominating the culture of the classical world, are also responsible for the greatest, some would say the only, work of true creative imagination produced this century as well. I refer, of course, to the Greek ferry timetables, a work of the sublimest fiction. Anyone who has travelled in the Aegean will confirm this." "Yes, I think so."